Psalm 68, verse 1 down through verse number 3. The Bible says this, "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." Now go back up to verse 1 and note those first three words, "Let God arise." That is the title of the message this morning. And let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. And I thank you again for the opportunity that we have to open up your word together as a church family, learn more of you so that we can go out into a lost and dying world that so desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us this morning to see you as Isaiah did, high and lifted up. May you be exalted in our thoughts, not just during this service, but throughout the week, that we would really think more and more upon you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Have you ever been in the presence of someone whom you just, if I could use the word, you just kind of stood in awe of? Someone that you just felt like you were in the presence of greatness? I, as you know, like to follow sports, and I have been, ever since I can remember, a Baltimore Oriole fan. And they had some great teams over the years, not so much as of late, almost on the par of the Detroit Tigers, I'm sorry. But anyway, I've had the opportunity to go to their actual stadium and watch them play. Saw more here in Detroit when they come to town and play the Tigers. But they had one of the all-time great players, and I actually got to see him play a few times. And there was very something significant about this particular player when he was kind of a quiet man, but yet he was a man that just exuded greatness. And the reason being, he had played for 21 seasons and had set the all-time record of playing, not missing a single game from the time he started to the time that he retired. He had played 2,632 games. He broke the great Lou Gehrig's record. He played like 2,000 and some, but Cal Ripken had set the record, and obviously to this day it still stands. And even though I never shook his hand, and even though I never went and talked to him when I went to the games, just seeing him out there playing at the shortstop position, I felt like I was in the presence of greatness. Well, may I say, have you and I ever been taken back by being in the presence of God? Have you ever thought much about this in your past week, about being in the presence of God? We find in Psalm 68 that there is a reference here in verse number 1, "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered." We find that really this is a text that is taken from Numbers chapter number 10. If you want to turn there, you may. But Numbers chapter 10, and we find in verse number 33 through verse number 36, an account of Moses and the children of Israel. Moses in his lifetime had encountered the presence of God, and we find that in this passage, it says in verse number 33, "And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them." Now notice how God showed up at this point. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 34, "And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." But notice here again in verse number 34, that the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day. And you read another passage of scripture that there was the fire of the Lord at night. And so we find in the context here that Moses and the children of Israel had encountered the presence of God. As I said with Moses, this was not the first time that he encountered God's presence. I think about the very first time in his life was when he was at the backside of the desert and encountered God at the burning bush, and God had spoke to him out of that burning bush encounter. And we find that God said to him, take off your shoes, for the ground that you are standing on is holy ground, because he was in the presence of God. I think of another time in the life of Moses when he went up to the mount to receive the Ten Commandments. Only he went up there. Now Joshua followed him up to a certain point, but it was only Moses that was allowed, if you would, to go into the very presence of God and see the finger of God right on the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. Then I think of another time in Exodus chapter 33 when Moses once again had said, God, I want you to show me your glory. I want to see you. I want to see your glory. And God, the Bible says, had put him in the cleft of the rock, and he hid him there, and he allowed Moses, if you would, to see the backside of God, but he could not see the very face of God, because no man has seen God and lived. And we find in the context that Moses then had encountered the presence of God many, many times. This morning, I want you to understand this thought. I'm going to carry it throughout the message, and that is this, that God's presence is pervasive and personal. We see in the context of Scripture that God's presence is pervasive. Think about this. There is nowhere that you can go that God is not. You can go to Africa, God will be there. You can go to Russia, God will be there. You can go far as north as you want to go, God will be there. God's presence is pervasive. Listen to a few passages of Scripture that speak to that text. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Now think about that thought. God is present, yes, but he's already in eternity. The verse goes on and says this, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Jeremiah 23, 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Have you ever thought that maybe you could hide from God? Where would you go? Because Jeremiah said there, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Then we find in 1 Kings 8, 27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. Then Psalm 139, verse 7 through verse 10 says this, whither shall I flee from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Now we see then in Scripture that the very presence of God is pervasive. He is with us here this morning. Whether we had just me here, which has been the case for the last few weeks, me and my wife and a few others, but God, if I was the only one here this morning, even Kevin not here, God would be in this building with me. In a little bit, you will get in your vehicle and you will go home and God will be with you. As you dwell in your house this afternoon, God's presence is there. You get the picture. There's nowhere that we can go that God is not. He is present. Think about this, what it must have been like for Adam to walk with God in the cool of the day of the garden. My, think about that. God created Adam from the dust of the ground, and then he allowed him to dwell in the garden, and he says, help yourself to anything. And my, what a privilege that must have been for Adam to dwell in the presence of God and recognize his presence. I think about the Hebrew children when they were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down and worship the image. And they were thrown in the furnace, but what it must have been like for them to be thrown in that fiery furnace, which, by the way, remember, before they were thrown in there, the instructor was told, turn it up 10 times hotter than what it already is. And so they were thrown into this fiery furnace, and then they looked down in there. They knew they only counted three that they put down in there, and they count one, two, three, four. What happened? The presence of God was with the children of God, even in the fire, so much so that they pulled those men up out of there. There was not a piece of clothing burned anywhere. There was no smoke, smell of smoke upon them. No hair was singed at all because God was present with his children. Hey, Daniel, what was it like for you when you were thrown into the den of lions? When you would not refuse to pray and you continued to pray as you had always done, what was that like, Daniel? And Daniel, you were thrown in that hungry den of lions. What was that like? He says, oh, it was great. I never slept better in my life. Why? Because my God was with me. Those hungry lions didn't devour me at all. But let me tell you what did happen. I was pulled up out of there the next morning. The enemy was thrown in, and those hungry lions devoured them before they even hit the ground. You see, Daniel, the Hebrew children, Adam, they knew that God's presence was pervasive and still is. One commentator wrote this, God is over all things, under all things, and outside all things. Within, but not enclosed. Without, but not excluded. Wholly above, presiding. Wholly beneath, sustaining. And wholly within, filling. I'm here to tell you this morning, as David there wrote in Psalm 68, let God arise, his presence is pervasive. But secondly, I want you to notice this, that God's presence is personal. How many of you realize this morning that we serve a personal God? He is not a God that is far off and one that we really can't even know. We can know him even though he is an infinite God. He dwells in eternity. He always has been. He always will be. I mean, we serve a great God, but his presence is personal. Listen to these verses. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In Exodus 33 and verse number 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. In Psalm 46 and verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So you can see that God's presence is pervasive, but his presence is very personal. There's a lot of truths about God that I appreciate, but this very one that I'm preaching to you about this morning is very personal with me. It goes back many years in my first pastorate, and how that I just really needed to sense the presence of the Lord. I was about ready to preach a message that I was very uncomfortable in preaching, not because I was afraid of man, but I just knew that this was going to be a hard message, a tough message to preach. And before that service that night, I opened up God's word, and he gave me a word of encouragement that my presence is with thee to deliver thee. And I tell you, from that day until now, God's presence is so real to me. God's presence this morning means so much. And I think about, as we think about his presence this morning, that in his presence we find comfort. In his presence we find comfort. Listen to this verse, if you would, in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, the God of all encouragement, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able also to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So there, the Apostle Paul realized that I serve a God who is present in my life, and his presence brings me comfort. It brings me hope. It brings me encouragement. He wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He said, there are times in my life where I feel like I'm hemmed in for all around me, and I have no place to go. But he says, in that context, he says, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. He says, we may be cast down, we may be knocked down to the ground, but we get back up because we're not destroyed. He was finding that in the presence of God, he found comfort, he found encouragement, he found hope. Someone said this, that when we are in darkness of soul, it is not darkness to God. I think one of the common things that many Americans, and sadly some, have gotten so depressed over these last 9 weeks that some have even taken their lives. Discouragement, depression. And yet, when you think about the presence of God, there is comfort, there is hope, there is encouragement. Because he says here that God is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And so we find in this context this morning that here we see that in his presence, we are comforted. But notice secondly, in his presence, we are convicted. How many of you love to be convicted? Not many of us do, but it is a good thing. Stay with me. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So in the presence of God, he is light. Remember, 1 John says that in him, that is in God, there is no darkness at all. I wish I could say that about my life. How about you? I wish I could say there's never a moment of darkness in my life, but with God, we can say that. In him, there is no darkness at all. So when we are aware of his presence and we are dwelling in his presence, one of the things that can come out of that, and it is a good thing, that we will at times be convicted of things in our life. Let me give you an example of this. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah chapter 6. King Uzziah has now died. Isaiah had great respect for King Uzziah. We find in the context that after he died, then Isaiah had seen God high and lifted up. He saw him and heard from the angels, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." By the way, church, one day the whole earth will be full of the glory of God. But we find that in that vision of God that Isaiah had seen, he saw God high and lifted up, and he saw God as holy, holy, holy. As a result, then, he comes out of that scene, and here's what he said. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I am a man undone. You see, Isaiah had seen the holiness of God. He saw God for who he was, and then he saw himself for what he was. And he said, you know, I don't really have any room to brag. I don't have any room to boast. I see myself as a sinful man in the presence of a holy God. Now, if you had asked me before that moment, up to chapter 6, I would have portrayed Isaiah as a man of God. One who, yes, he was sinful as we all are, but one that you could say, hey, here's a man of God that I can follow. Here is a man of God who loves God. Here is a man of God who walks with God. But you see, it wasn't important how I saw him, it was important how he saw himself before a holy God. And when he saw God high and lifted up, he was convicted. He was convicted of his sin. Billy Graham years ago was with a group of other preachers for a prayer meeting. And he said to those group of preachers before they began to pray, he said, men, I long to be holy. I want to be a holy man. Pray for me that I will be holy. What a prayer request. In fact, when you get into the presence of God, God will convict you. I've experienced it just this week. There have been times when every day this week, I've opened up the Word of God, let the Word of God speak to me, and I was convicted. I was, you know, hey, this is either wrong in my life or convicted. I need to add something to my life. Either way, it can work both ways. But when you're in the presence of God, you can realize that you will be convicted, either to add something or take something away in your life. Because that's how God works. When you are in his presence, he comforts you. Yes, he encourages you. Yes, but he also will convict. I was thinking this morning as I was reading, and in fact, you can turn there. Just let me share something with you. Go to the book of Psalms, would you? Psalm 17. Psalm 17, I was reading this morning. And just to show you, I'm allowing God to speak to my heart. And so he does. By the way, when you get before the Word of God and you ask God to give you understanding, be ready for God to give it to you. Okay? So, in Psalm 17, here I'm reading this morning, the Bible says now in verse number 3, Psalm 17, thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now, are you ready for what God spoke to me about, convicted me about in his presence? That last phrase of verse number 3. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Whoa. Think about that one, church. Think about letting that just convict you and challenge you and say, you know, today, Lord, I don't know how many words I'm going to speak. They say a man speaks 10,000 words a day. A woman speaks 35,000 words a day. I don't know if that's true or not, but I will say this. All of us, man or woman, we speak a lot of words during a day. I wonder today, did you wake up and say, now, Lord, help me to be careful what I say? To my family, to anyone else that I will run in contact with today, I'm telling you, God convicted me about this, not because I've got a loose tongue, I'm not saying that, but I want to be careful what I say. And that's how God, in his presence, convicted me this morning through his word. And then I go on down in this text of scripture, and I come to verse number 15. Now notice this. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So here we go again. God's convicted me. Not of sin in my life at verse number 15, but God is convicting me in a good way and saying, hey, I want you to be more like Jesus. I don't want you to ever be satisfied where you are spiritually until you awaken my likeness. Until then, you keep pressing in your relationship with the Lord. You keep growing. You keep adding to your faith. So you see how in one chapter, God convicted me in his presence, something to be careful about and something to add in my life. Both were good things, and I praise him for that. So sometimes when we think about being convicted, we only think about it's about some sin in my life. Sometimes that is true. But sometimes God will convict you and say, hey, you need to begin to do this in your life. You need to begin to add this character trait, and I'll help you do it, he says, to this in your life. You need then to realize that in his presence, we are comforted, we are convicted. And then thirdly this morning, notice this. In his presence, we are challenged. I go back to Isaiah. After Isaiah had seen the Lord high and lifted up, and then Isaiah saw himself for what he was, and God cleansed him. Then God asked the question, whom shall I send, and who will go for me? And then Isaiah now said, here am I, send me. He's still in the presence of the Lord, and now he is a ready vessel, a clean vessel, one that God can use, and he says, who will go for me? And Isaiah, in the presence of the Lord, is challenged, and he says, here, Lord, here am I, send me. I will go for you. We find in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. There Jeremiah was concerned about, I'm going to go and I'm going to preach a message. And Lord, you are telling me that my message is not going to be received. You tell me that I'm going to have to suffer and so forth. And yes, Jeremiah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. It would sound like almost like who would want to sign up for that, right? I mean, who would want to sign up for a mission that you are already told you're going to be, you know, your message isn't going to be received? In fact, the Bible, or I should say by many commentaries, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because you read Jeremiah and Lamentations. Here was a man who, in context, was so burdened for the people that he was giving the message to, and it wasn't just like readily received, and yet he said, I'll go. Isaiah said, I'll go. Because both of those men knew a promise from God that I am with you men to deliver you. My presence will go before you. My presence, if you would, will be behind you. I will be beside you. In other words, I will be all around you. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And so we find in the context here that in his presence we are challenged. You see, God's presence is pervasive. God's presence is personal. Now let me help you and myself live this out this week. Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Because most of us here this morning would agree that God is present everywhere. And we would say, yes, I have sensed God's presence at times in my life. But notice now in Psalm 91, and start with me, if you would, at verse number 1. Psalm 91 and verse number 1. If you are one that marks in your Bible, then I want you to either circle or underline a particular word in verse 1. He that dwelleth. Underscore that word, dwelleth. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There was a preacher years ago who wrote a book entitled Practicing the Presence of God. He was basing it somewhat on this particular passage. He that dwelleth in the secret place. He was just practicing God's presence. Look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now drop down to verse number 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Here we see in this passage of Scripture that God was very personal to David. And he said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So this week, here is what I want to challenge you to do. I want you not only believe here that God is present, but I want you to go throughout your day and make a conscious decision. Whether you are at work or whether you're at home, no matter where you are, I want you to think about God is present with me. Just allow your, just for a few seconds, just think about that. God is present with me. I'm driving down the road. God is present with me. I'm sitting down before a meal. God is present with me. I am working. God is present with me. He that dwelleth, because you see, what are you doing by doing that? You are then practicing, you are making yourself become more and more aware of the presence of God, which, by the way, praise God, he promised, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Amen? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So today, just begin the process this week to say, I'm going to be more aware of the presence of God. I told you earlier that when you even sit down with your Bible and you begin to ask God, God, you show me, you teach me, give me understanding what I'm about to read. God will meet with you. Why? Because he dwells with those who have a hungry heart for him. God, I want to know more of you. I want to learn of you. And so what we are doing is that we are putting ourselves in a place where I not only want to believe that God is present, I want to sense his presence. I want to know that he is present with me. There have been times when I have been in conversation with people, unsaved people, saved people, it doesn't matter, where I don't have a Bible in front of me, but I just sense the leading of the Holy Spirit of God to say, share this verse with them. And I do. That is, if you would, practicing the presence of God, being aware of the presence of God, that he's with me, that he is not a God afar off. Yes, if you would, he is on his throne. One day, praise God, our Savior is going to come, and we will be in the very presence of God. But until that day comes, we can experience his presence now. We can experience his presence. We can know that he is with us. I really want to try not to talk about what we're currently going through, but I want to just say this, and I'll not dwell on it long. But if anything, these last 9 weeks, I don't know what it's done for you. I don't know where your thoughts and opinions are, and that's not what we're going to be talking about here. But one of the things that is true for every child of God, that God has caused us for a time just to get still. How many times have most of us here this morning said something like this? Boy, I wish I could just stay where? Home. How many of you are kind of getting tired of the four walls? Yeah, some of you are, and I get it. But you know the beautiful thing about it, and my wife can attest to this, your pastor has had a hard time sitting still. I'll sit home, I'll come over here, and I'll just think about, man, what can we do for more outreach? I mean, we there's got to be a way, Lord. I know the doors right now aren't open, but how can we reach more people in our community? And I'm just trying to drive and drive and drive. Let's get this moving. Let's get going. And I didn't hear an audible voice from God, but it was as if God was saying, you know, you need to live and practice Psalm 46 and verse 10 right now. And here's what it says. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. How many of you sometimes feel like you never get anything accomplished if you just sit still? Yeah. Got a couple of guys in here that own their own businesses. They know what I'm saying. Yeah. Sit still. I don't make any money if I sit still. Huh? You know what I'm talking about. You know, I've got to get up, got to go to work, got to, you know. But we're talking about something beyond a paycheck. We're talking about something beyond keeping employees employed and so forth. We're talking about something internal that only God can see. That God says, I want you to be still. I want you just to slow down. I know a lot of people have thought about, you know, before this happened, parents were running to and fro, taking their kids to sporting activities and so forth. And now the concern is, will that ever come back? I don't know. I'm not here to talk about that. But it isn't interesting how busy our life was before. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, for me, it hasn't slowed down one bit. I'm still just as busy as I was before all this. And I get that. But for most, a lot of things have been put on hold. You kids have probably said, man, I'll be glad when school is over with. But you really didn't expect it the way it happened, right? It's like, man, I miss my friends. I want to be around them. It's interesting, the things that we take for granted in life and when they're taken away from us, what we really miss. You know, God is saying to us as a church, I want you to allow me to arise large in your thoughts. I don't understand God and everything that he does. His ways are so higher than mine. His thoughts are so beyond my thoughts. But this God who is like that is my God. He's your God. And he wants us to just be still and know that he is God. Just one other quick thought on that. If you have read that psalm, you would find this. That it talks about that if the mountains be cast down into the sea and the sea roars and so forth, and the foundations be shaken, it's like all of these things that we, again, would take for granted, but when they are, if you would, are just disturbed. And so he concludes that chapter and says, though everything around you is falling apart, there is one in heaven who has not and never will fall apart. That's God. Amen? God has it under control, church. I believe this with all of my heart. And I'm just looking forward to getting into more messages with you and preparing us for what I believe is definitely that can happen at any moment and any day is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be a prepared people. Jesus Christ is coming. But in light of that, until then, we can experience the presence of God now. So my challenge for all of us this week is, you don't necessarily have to stop, but before you begin work, just think about, God's present with me today. God, help me to see your presence. It may be, young people, that you, as you wake up in the morning, you just take some time and say, hey, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Lord, help me somehow today to just be more aware of your presence. And I believe with all of my heart that God will make himself known to you, that you will sense his presence because he is present with his people. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, God's presence is everywhere. He's right here. He's right there with you. What a thought. There's nowhere you can go that God is not. But I wonder this morning, is the presence of God personal with you? Have you really been thinking about his presence? We talk about his promises, and to be sure, there's a lot of promises of God that we can stand on. But I wonder this morning if there would be someone here who would say, Pastor, in my life, this week, God helping me, I want to become more and more aware of God's presence. I don't want him, if you would, to be a God afar off in my life. I want him to be very real and dear to me and near in my life. I need to become more aware of his presence in my life. And I would that you remember me, Pastor, this week, that I would be more aware of his presence. Would you? Yes, God bless you. Is there someone else? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Is there someone else this morning? Yes, God bless you. Someone else? Say, yes, God's spoken to my heart this morning. I need to be more aware. I need to be more in tune to this, that God is present. He's not just a God afar off. He's my God, and I need to be more aware of his presence. There's just someone else before we pray. Someone else. Yes, God bless you. Someone else. It may be today that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Not sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. This morning, Jesus Christ can be your Savior. Now, I wonder this morning, there'd be someone here say, Pastor, he's not my Savior. I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. If that's you, would you raise your hand, rub your hat, anyone at all, while we wait? Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I have never, ever made that personal decision. Today, I need to. If that's your need, raise your hand, rub your hat, anyone at all, while we wait. And now, Father, how I thank you this morning for your presence. You are so near. In fact, you've told us, draw nigh or draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's what you did for me this morning. And you convicted me. You challenged me. You comforted me. And Father, I know you can do that for every person in this congregation this morning, and many of them have raised their hands, and you know their hearts. This week, they want to be more aware of your presence. No matter what they're doing, whether they're working or at home doing a project, no matter what they're doing, they today have asked and want to rise to the challenge to be more aware of your presence. And I trust that this week that will just be developed in their life, that they will practice the presence of God daily. And thank you again for your comfort that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.